Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it is good to be with you on this Sunday. I tell you what, it is hard to believe that July is over, and we are now entering the month of August. And it's just amazing to me how just, again, time just moves on. As the song says, time marches on. That's how life is, and that's how the seasons go. But here we are. We are ushered into the entrance of the latter part of summer and headed into the fall season. But this is my favorite time of year as we see the changes of the seasons as they come. But still, until then, we're going to enjoy summer, and it's still full blown, and it's still got some hot weather coming our way yet with me in Iowa. But before we get started this morning, I just want to bring your attention to a few things as we the Vital Ministries. Again, we send out devotionals 6 days a week. You can go to our vitalministries.org webpage and just see it, and just all the new things that are occurring with our website and all the different information. They have done a great job of getting us set back up, and I just love how the new look and the new logo and the new brand of how that is. But again, you can go to and get devotionals sent to you 6 days a week for both men and women. My wife does a beautiful job of writing, before it was just directed toward the women, and that's kind of changed a little bit. It's more of vital life, more of that sort of thing. If you want something really quick, short, it is excellent. And also, too, for the men, we've got 6 writers that write for Vital Men, and just some good stuff. And both my son and I are show our devotionals live, and just gives you an opportunity for that extra nugget as men, as we very much need that, especially in the time of day-to-day. So I encourage you to jump on board with that as well. And then also, too, like every ministry, we need funding. And I just ask to be prayerful about that, if you would be willing to have some extra at the end of the day, end of the month, and you just like to donate to us, you can go to our donate page and just help us out with that as well. But just some good things as we continue with Vital Ministries, and just things upcoming and new things that are going along as we go about our day. But we are going to stay in this new teaching series that we've started. And again, this morning, we're going to be talking about what it means to, are you chosen? But we're going to take a sidestep and look at Jesus' first miracle at the wedding of Cana. I'm excited about this one this morning. It's kind of a different, catches Jesus in a different context. In the beginning of his ministry, a beginning of a time where things are changing rapidly. He's picking disciples, he's choosing them, and also too, he gets this invite that we'll see at this wedding. See, Jesus had just been baptized, if you look in the book of John, in John chapter 1, verse 29 through 34, by his cousin, John the Baptist. After Jesus' baptism, John was standing by his 2 disciples, John the disciple and also Andrew, Peter's brother. When John the Baptist declares in John 1:36, he says, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When they heard this, they immediately left John and started following Jesus. Now I like this next question that Jesus asks them in John chapter 1, verse 38. He turns and he says this to them, "What do you want?" Think about that for a second. Let it sink in. The two were Jesus' first followers. It's like asking the question, "What is it that you seek?" Boy, do we ever live in a day where people are seeking. People are looking for answers, for hope, for direction. What a greater time than this to prepare to share the gospel. People are looking for what is real and what is truth. Man, you don't have to sit there and watch the news too long, or get on social media, or just look at what is being said about through the news and the different things. People are looking for what is real today, folks. What is truth? And I just encourage you about that. And I hope this morning, as we talk about this this wedding at Cana, and also too, are you chosen? Maybe you're looking for that this morning. Maybe today you've turned us on to KBOE 104.9 FM as you're traveling down the highway today. We want to thank you for joining us this morning. Or maybe again, many of you speak to me and say, "Mike, we listen to you every morning as we're headed to church." Thank you for your loyalty. And many of you share with me that this is actually your time. This is your service. This is your sermon. This is your teaching. I again want to thank you so much for participating in Vital Ministries. And also, too, that my hope is that we send out the hope of Christ for Jesus himself. But recently I was at the Diamond Rio concert in Oskaloosa. I was with the sheriff's department to assist and to serve. And I couldn't help but see the lostness in a lot of people's eyes as they were at that concert. And again, I'm not saying everyone, but I would say many. And too often people look for happy moments, happiness, in the midst of what I would say staring it down at the bottom of a bottle or in a relationship, only to find that these are fleeting moments. These are things that move and don't hold on and continually to help us in direction in life itself. See, there were two disciples saw something in Jesus that they didn't see in John the Baptist. There was just something that was different about what they saw in Jesus. And they say to Jesus, "Teacher, where are you staying? Virtually, where are you sleeping tonight?" And they follow Jesus to a night of rest and follow him from then on in their lives and making decisions to be his followers. See, Jesus also adds to the two men as they travel. He adds, as you look at John chapter 1, you'll see him adding Peter. He also adds Philip and Nathaniel. To my calculations, to what John gives us as how these men are following, there are five disciples at this point, not counting the women that were following Jesus, on a quest that will change their lives and their trajectory forever. They will leave Nazareth, Jesus' hometown, and head to Cana, which is about 38 miles away, like walking from in my hometown in Oskaloosa, Iowa, to the south side of Ottumwa, Iowa. It's a day's journey. If you Google Christ's journey, you will see the road he took from Nazareth all the way to Capernaum. I've traveled by bus on the way to Cana from Nazareth, and it's a small little town, much like Nazareth itself. Each little town has significance because Jesus walked through them and had moments with people. This next moment would be a wedding, a time that for some reason that John wrote down in the book of John. You'll not find it in the other three gospels, but you will find this unique setting, this unique moment, this opportunity of a wedding. I have two good friends in Oskaloosa who have a wedding barn called Debbie's Celebration Barn. They both use social media to show the beautiful days of someone and the memories of a couple's life. Denny, he's Debbie's helper, I always say, but Denny, just a cool guy, and he loves building and creating Debbie's wishes, is what I call them. So the couples that come to Debbie's Celebration Barn in Oskaloosa can have beautiful weddings, beautiful moments, times in which they'll treasure, and hopefully the pictures and the different things that are depicted that happen in wedding moments. I facilitated a few of weddings at the Debbie Celebration Barn, and I got to be honest, it's one of my favorite places to do weddings. Every now and then you see these opportunities of weddings in small towns as they take place. But let's get started this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to open up to John chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And we'll see the first miracle of Jesus in the book of John, in which he turns water into wine. And my first point this morning, if you're taking notes, is this. Point number one, we are out of wine. And I want to show you something here in verses 1 through 3. It says this. It says, "The next day there was a wedding celebration at the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also there and taking time during the celebration. The wine supply had run out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, 'They have no more wine.'" Now, I find this interesting. Notice that Jesus and his disciples are invited. The whole family is there to this wedding reception, this time of weddings. And back in the time of Christ, weddings could take as long as 7 days back in the old times of the Bible. They were celebrations, food, wine, and dancing. It was a celebration of one man and one woman. Both withheld sexual activity until the marriage commencement would happen. It was a time of honorable and also a sacred moment of what marriage is actually all about. And I can remember, I'm going to take you to a moment when I had a moment with my daughter when she got married. And she was in the northern suburb of Atlanta, Georgia. In that moment in which I walked my daughter down the aisle and gave her away to a young man by the name of Matt. I heard all the stories of how dads would lose it while their daughters were walking down the aisle. And I had to be honest with you, I had to say to myself, that's not going to happen to me. And to be honest, folks, it was all good until the moment I sat down. It was in that moment when I sat down, the rush of memories from holding her at the very beginning of birth to seeing her as a first time, as a young baby, a young child, a young girl. And now before me stood a young woman. A lot of life and a lot of memories poured through my mind. Great moments of great celebration. You know, each man, when he has these opportunities, it's different when you walk as your son gets married as opposed to a daughter getting married. And they both have great significance. But walking your daughter down the aisle, there is something that is different in the moment. See, Jesus was at this wedding, and in some way his mother, if we can read between the lines that it doesn't give us in the Bible, but if we can read through the lines, we see that Jesus' mom is involved in some way. She's part of the planning, part of the organizing of the wedding itself. It's a frantic moment, and you never run out of wine at a wedding. It's like selling your guests short, and Mary knew that. My mom was greatly involved in a lot of weddings. She made wedding cakes, not cupcakes like we have today. And again, I'm not dishonoring that or discrediting that, but back in the day, there was wedding cakes. There was no cupcakes that came alongside the cake itself. And she made the cake, and it was a week-long venture for my mother in our home when she was making these cakes. And man, I tell you what, cakes were cooking, batter was everywhere, frosting with flowers being made, geese made out of frosting, and a small waterfall a lot of times that was all done in the midst of the wedding cake itself. And then there was the mince that my mom always made. See, mom always had dad building these things to support the cake because they were so heavy. And out of those cakes that dad would build, he'd actually build a structure to hold the weight of the cake itself. Mom and dad, I tell you what, they were quite the team when it came to doing weddings and making wedding cakes. My mom, folks, I got to be honest and a little bit one-sided, she still made the best wedding cake that I've ever eaten. And I can still, even this morning, as I share with you, I can smell the cake in the oven baking in those moments as my mom did such a beautiful job. See, weddings are a big deal, and Jesus' mom knew the urgency of the moment of not having enough wine. She believed and knew that her son could fix this. No problem was too big. She knows her son is also God's son as well, and she knew that a nudge of persuasion would move her son. And let's look at that moment, and we're going to see that in, again, back in John chapter 2, verse 4. Jesus says this. He looks at his mom, and notice something that's different here. He doesn't call her mom. He says, "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." See, many times we see Jesus, people will ask, is Jesus being rude to his mom? As we just discussed, Mary wants Jesus to do something special. She wants her son to fix a problem. Every man, an umbrella of mercy here, every man has two women in his life. One is his wife, and one is his mom. And why do you think every athlete, as he looks into the TV and says, "Hi, mom," rarely do you see him saying, "Hi, dad"? He gives her the credit. She was the one that nurtured. She's the nurturer. She is the persuader. She is the one of kind of mom that is always in the back corner of encouragement. I found in my own life, I could really tell you so much of mom was always there. And mom was someone I could always talk to. She was there in my hard days with the celebration of the tough times and also the day of my successes. She always was on my side and my court. She was always at my ball games, and she listened to me sing in grade school as we'd stand in those crazy pageants and sing it during the time of Christmas to take me to guitar lessons, and mom was the one that was always there. Mary, she was there for Jesus. Like a mama bird trying to push her chick out to fly, she believed this was the moment. This was the time for her son to begin in the midst of his ministry. For some reason, Jesus doesn't call Mary mother. He calls her woman. Jesus is actually creating, I think, in the very beginning of his ministry, a distance here. It's not to be mean or to be harsh, but it's a way of time of independence. He's not quite sure that it's the Father's will for him to step into ministry. And that's why she says, it's not my time yet. It's, if you notice in the YouTube series, The Chosen, you will see Mary, she actually asks another question, one that we don't read in the Bible, one that we find that I think is not written. And she looks at Jesus in this series, in this teaching, and she says, if not now, when? She knows it's time. She sees the intent that Jesus can perform and actually do the miracle. Jesus, for some reason, we see a hesitating moment. He's working on a divine timetable that only the Father knew, and he wanted to be obedient and to step into the right moment, not to be too quick or to do a moment that is not given by his Father and himself. And I see Jesus, and he thinks about it, and he wants to take this moment of divinity, the time to be with the Father himself. But see, the story, I want to share a story with you as I started my own construction company when I was 29 years old. It was a moment in which my life, when I had worked for my dad for the most part, most of my life, and doing construction, and I was 29 years old, and it was a moment in which I had to make a decision of to step out of being dependent on someone else to provide as opposed to being independent and trusting on the Lord himself. And I can remember that time as 29 years old, and I prayed and I asked the Lord, and I had work lined up to actually step in from going to just doing concrete work with my father to becoming a builder, becoming the man that God had designed me to be. And it was an anxious moment. It was a time of, as I look back, of uncertainty. Because to stay in under the security of my father created a place of safety. It was a safety net. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit was a nudge. It was pushing me out to begin my business. And I can remember when I took that step of faith and started out. And I could see from that time on exactly how the Lord was with me in every moment of my life all the way up till now. And I think Jesus wanted to be in that moment as well as he started his ministry, as he started this wedding at Canaan. But let's go to point number three this morning, and I call this Fill the Jars, and we'll continue our reading this morning, starting with verse 5. But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Standing nearby were six stones, water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." When the jars had been filled, he said, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies." So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. "A host always serves the best wine first," he said. "Then when everyone had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now." The miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After the wedding, he traveled to Capernaum in a few days with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. See, Jesus' mother gives final instructions to the servants. Again, it seems as if she is the wedding coordinator at this moment. She knows what is going to happen, and her faith in the Father and her Son is extremely at this very moment. And you can imagine with me for a moment the joy that it must have been in Mary's heart. All the meetings with the angels and with the prophets, and the belief in her heart that she had in the moment at the very beginning of her Son's birth. She knew the hour had come. The first miracle recorded in John is a wedding, changing water into wine. Jesus now takes control of the moment. He tells the servants to fill the six stones with water, which he's going to change into wine, 20 to 30 gallons each of wine. Some people ask Jesus to turn the water, will ask, why would Jesus turn an water into wine, an alcoholic beverage. It was simply grape juice. And we can have a whole theological debate on this, but wine was used much in the culture because a lot of times drinking water was poor and not much of it was readily available. Not always does wine have a negative insight, and I want to share some scriptures to back that up with you this morning. It says in Ecclesiastes 9:7, it instructs, drink wine with a merry heart. Psalms 104, 14 through 15 says, God gives wine the glad of the heart of men. Amos 9:14 says, drinking wine from a vineyard is a sign of God's blessing. See, but we can also see the opposite side of the wine, of taking too much and taking wine to a place of where it goes the wrong way and where it actually becomes sin. And I'm not going to share that this morning because there's too much information. But I do, if you're writing notes this morning or if you got a place to write down where it shows that the abuse of alcohol is in fact a sin. You can find that in Ephesians 5:18, Proverbs 23 verses 29 through 35, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 12, and Peter chapter 2 verse 19. See, wine was part of the wedding ceremony itself. It was a part of the celebration. It was a part of what was good in a wedding itself. You know, oftentimes we see at weddings where alcohol can go the wrong direction. It becomes a place of not of celebration, but a place of what I call identity, a place of abuse, a place of where people take it to the wrong place. I can remember doing a wedding one time, and I was up, and I'll never forget this. I was standing with the groom and his six men that were standing, the groomsmen that were standing alongside him, and one of the young men came and opened up from the inside of his tuxedo. He had a decanter, and he opened up the lid, and he walks up to me, and I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I'm ready for the moment, and he walks up and he gives me the container, and he says this, want to drink a little courage before your speech. I tell you what, I looked at young men in his eyes, and I, with full boldness, I looked at him and I said, I don't need to drink any courage to have courage. Courage is within me, and I don't need alcohol to make me to a place to have courage. And I think oftentimes at a wedding, those are the negative things that you see, and a lot of times you'll see couples that will come out, and again, the abuse of the alcohol, you'll see people come racing out, and they'll a young man will go to his knees racing into a wedding celebration and drink down a 40 in less than 30 seconds. And I think that's a negative connotation of what a wedding is really not about, but a wedding is part of the festivity of having wine, and God created it, and Jesus made it from water into wine, and having wine at a wedding, in my opinion, folks, is not a negative connotation, but a positive thing, because it's also too as a reflection. What does Jesus do as with his disciples at the of his last night, as he has them drink of the cup, which is wine, and also too breaking of the bread. Someday I believe that we're all going to sit in the table around with Jesus in the last days. It talks about in the book of Revelation. Folks, we're going to have a party. We're going to have the celebration of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is risen, and all things are going to be made right, and there will be merriment, and there will be drinking of wine, and will be breaking of bread, and we're going to see some incredible things. So in my mind, if it's done according to the right way, again, an umbrella of mercy for those of you who are abstainers of wine, I pray that you actually give people who choose to do that at weddings, for better words of saying, simply give them a break. Give them grace. Because I think that at times it's a positive thing. So there's nothing greater that I think when a father stands up, or the father of the bride, or brother of the groom, and they give a toast. And it's a celebration of a life, that it's a beginning of a couple. And we see Jesus doing some incredible things, turning water into wine. There's dancing, there's merriment. You know, I can remember a time in my life and going to church, we were told, You can't drink wine, you can't dance, you have all these things that you cannot do. And I find so much of the things that we were told where we couldn't do as festivities in the Bible of merriment, of good things that happen in the right connotation, in the right way of doing it, what God had designed. See, Jesus is always in the middle of moments. You see that in everything of his life. He's even in the middle of a moment of a wedding. And I've seen weddings today that I've seen moments of between a husband and a wife, and the merriment and the toasting and the love and the exchange of vows, and so much is good, and the dancing, and it's all good. Man, it's good. Weddings are a good thing, folks. We need to go and enjoy the moments. Jesus did. He was an example. Why I find it so interesting in the book of John that the first miracle he does is at a wedding. Because Jesus cares about all moments. And when I look at that and I think of chosen moments, not only does he choose the people to follow him, but he chooses moments in which he gives instruction, in which he makes us to find a place where we can find joy in the midst of tough times in our world, even today. I want to just thank him for those moments of choosing us. So today, we're going to pray. We're going to thank the Lord for moments. We're going to thank the Lord for weddings. And we're going to thank the Lord for life itself. Will you pray with me this morning? Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you for this day, for opportunities of where we can share in your word. Words that you spoke, words that are in the Bible, not words that have been instructed by man or a book that has been written, but it's actually a book that has been written by that through the Holy Spirit you instructed these disciples to write. And for some reason, John chooses to write about this miracle. Lord, we thank you for the miracles that you give to back then and also that you're the miracle worker today. Lord, I pray today that you would give us insight. Give us, as we look into your word, into the Bible, you are a good God. You also was a God that had happy moments and would have fun with people. Help us to have fun, even today in our moments. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, we're just excited about getting this teaching series that I have chosen. Next week, we're going to talk about the life of Nicodemus. The night when Jesus goes and he has this quiet moment in the middle of the night and Nicodemus shows up and asks hard questions. We serve a God who still chooses people and who is still, as we looked at weddings, he also looks at moments when we can come and ask him. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.